Hello and welcome to St Andrew's and All Saints Online at our traditional service. I'm Reverend Peter Myers and I'm the curate here, and it's a delight to be joining you this morning. And on that basis then, the grace, mercy and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you and also with you. Today is the third Sunday of Lent, and we're continuing to teach into our series, Faith Under Pressure. Last week, we looked at facing our failures, and this week, we're going to be looking at facing our fears, and Heather Williamson's going to be teaching in that in just a moment. So, let us start the service. Let me pray and then we're going to sing our first hymn. Blessed are you, God of compassion and mercy. To you be praise and glory forever. In the darkness of our sin, your light breaks forth like the dawn, and your healing springs up for deliverance. As we rejoice in the gift of your saving help, sustain us with your bountiful spirit and open our lips to sing your praise. Blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So let us sing our first hymn. To God be the glory. Praise the Lord. So let us say the prayer of preparation together. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ said that the first commandment is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbour as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Amen. Lord, have mercy. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to be our advocate in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Therefore, let us confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace with all. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbour, in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. And so, Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, and confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in life eternal, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And the collect for this third Sunday of Lent. Almighty God, whose most dear Son went not up to joy, but first the suffering suffered pain, and entered into its glory before he was crucified, mercifully grant that we, walking in the way of the cross, may find to none other than the way of life and peace, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We're now going to have the reading that comes from Matthew 8, and then Heather is going to come and teach.
Today's reading is from Matthew chapter 8, verses 23 to 27. Jesus calms the storm. Then he got into the boat, and his disciples followed him. Suddenly, a furious storm came up on the lake, so that the waves swept over the boat, but Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, saying, Lord, save us, we're going to drown. He replied, You of little faith, why are you so afraid? Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, What kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him.
That must have been some storm. Here's a picture painted by Rembrandt in 1633, which captures the fury of the waves and the desperation of the disciples struggling in the bow of the boat while others try to wake the sleeping Jesus in the stern. Lake Galilee is noted for its sudden storms as the wind comes funneling down from the surrounding hills, but this must have been an exceptionally bad one for experienced fishermen to be so terrified. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all describe this incident. As we heard, Matthew says, Without warning, a furious storm came up on the lake so that the waves swept over the boat. Mark says, A furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. He also gives the detail that Jesus was asleep on a cushion. The disciples were at the mercy of the furious waves and ferocious wind and feared for their lives. If you wonder how Jesus could sleep through it, bear in mind that according to Matthew's account, since he came down from the mountainside where he'd been teaching what we know as the Sermon on the Mount, he had healed a man with leprosy and the servant of a Roman centurion and Simon Peter's mother-in-law and crowds of other people who came flocking to him for healing and deliverance. We know from another healing story in Luke's Gospel that Jesus felt power going out of him as he healed. So, humanly speaking, he must have been exhausted. And as the Lord of the wind and waves, it seems he knew they were safe. Our subject today in the series Faith Under Pressure is facing fear. The disciples in the storm were fearing they were going to drown. And Jesus' words when they woke him were, "You of little faith, why are you so afraid?" So there must be important lessons for us to learn from this story. We have been living in a climate of fear for a year now, ever since the COVID-19 storm first swept over our country, threatening not only our way of life and our livelihoods, but our very lives themselves. Hearts have been failing for fear of dying a horrible death, separated from our loved ones. We have feared for the effects of isolation on our elderly relations in care homes and for the mental health of our children and our sanity as parents while schools have been closed. Jobs have been lost and businesses have closed, and there is fear and uncertainty over what will happen when the lockdown restrictions are lifted. And even now, when the statistics show such encouraging results from the vaccination program, still, day after day, the relentless news media feed us with the latest causes for fear. This week, we've learnt about the new Brazilian variant, which is so contagious and may be resistant to the vaccine, at loose in the country because of an unidentified carrier. And there's a lot of fear and anxiety among parents and teachers around the longed-for return of our children to school on Monday. And in all this, as with the disciples in the boat, there is a feeling of helplessness in the face of the forces of nature. Was it unfair of Jesus to reprove the frightened disciples for lack of faith, rather than reassuring and encouraging them? Could he be saying the same to us, his 21st century disciples? Don't we need reassuring and encouraging too? Is it possible to have faith under pressure instead of fear? Before attempting to answer that question, we need to consider the way the story ends with the dramatic miracle of the calming of the storm at the word of the Lord. Mark says, "Jesus got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, 'Quiet, be still.' Then the wind died down, and suddenly it was completely calm." That was obviously a huge revelation, as well as a huge relief to the men in the boat, and increased their awed questioning of who Jesus was, though their faith continued to be pretty flaky. I suppose you could say that the God-given skill of the scientists, which has amazingly accelerated the successful development of life-saving vaccines, is the outstanding miracle of our time, mitigating the danger from the virus for us and promising a way out of lockdown. And there have undoubtedly been many miraculous experiences of healing or protection from the virus worldwide in answer to prayer. But I don't believe that the miraculous calming of the storm was ever the main point of the story, and it isn't for us today either. You see, with Jesus in the boat, whether awake or asleep, the disciples should have known they were safe in the storm. Judging by his rebuke, Jesus obviously felt they'd already seen enough evidence of his power to trust him. They should have been saying, "If Jesus can sleep through this, surely we'll be all right. Keep bailing, boys. Don't let's wake him. He's so tired." Remember, the first time Peter met Jesus, he healed his mother-in-law. And in Luke's Gospel, we read how soon afterwards, Jesus borrowed Peter's boat as a pulpit, and after he'd finished speaking, told Peter to put out into deep water and let down his nets. Peter obeyed, although he thought it was futile. When they caught such a huge number of fish that the nets began to break, Peter fell at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." Instead, Jesus said, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." This is when Peter and his fellow fishermen started their journey of discipleship. And I've already mentioned some of the miracles they'd witnessed before the storm befell them on the lake. In Luke's account, the healing of the paralyzed man let down through the roof, and the restoration to life of the son of a grieving widow in the town of Nain also precede this story. Hence Jesus' words, "You of little faith, why are you so afraid?" What about us? There's actually a children's song complete with actions which says, "With Christ in the vessel, I can smile at the storm as we go sailing on." Smiling at the storm may sound trite, not to say unrealistic, but believing we're safe because Jesus is in the boat with us in the storm is the metaphor chosen to help us understand how we can have faith when we're facing frightening situations. We've all felt fear. We know how visceral it is, how it paralyzes us, how it churns our stomachs and dominates our imaginations. And the Lord knows that too. He faced it in the Garden of Gethsemane. But he wants to help us to grow in our trust that whatever happens, we are safe if we belong to him. If you used the midday prayers that Dave produced at the beginning of the first lockdown, you will know how many psalms express faith in God as our rock, our fortress, our deliverer. And they will have reinforced your faith as you read them aloud. One of my favourite psalms is Psalm 34, which says, "I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears." Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his holy people, for those who fear him lack nothing. Did you notice how the word fear is used with two different meanings in those verses? "I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears." And "fear the Lord, you his holy people, for those who fear him lack nothing." The Bible describes the awe and reverence due to our almighty and holy God as the fear of the Lord. It was the fear of the Lord which the disciples were expressing when they said, "What kind of man is this? Even the winds and waves obey him." And that fear displaced their previous fear of drowning. But for me, it isn't so much my knowledge of God's power to rescue me, which is an antidote to fear. More meaningful is my experience of his perfect love for me. As John writes in his first letter, chapter 4, perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with torment. I remember the first time I went out with a friend and left my baby boy in David's care for a few hours. I was so scared that something would happen to him. But then God showed me that however much I loved him, it could never be as much as God loved him. So he was perfectly safe. Can we entrust our own lives and the lives of our loved ones into God's loving care, even at a time of pandemic and in all the other changes and chances of our uncertain lives? In his second letter to his adopted son Timothy, chapter 1, St. Paul writes, "God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and self-control." Why self-control? Well, I don't think it means gritting our teeth and stiffening our upper lips. Firstly, I think Paul is reminding us that we have to act responsibly. One of my favourite quotations is from Oliver Cromwell, who said to his men before the battle, "Trust God and keep your gunpowder dry." We shouldn't go out on the next sunny day and join a rave or a crowded beach, thinking I shall be okay because I trust God. More importantly, I think it means that we can choose whether to give way to fear or to say, "Lord, you know I'm scared, but I'm going to trust you." And every time we dare to trust him, he builds our faith so that we can trust him more. Another of my favourite quotations is from an old hymn. "His love in times past forbids me to think he'll leave me at last in trouble to sink." If you're new to faith or still uncertain, this all probably sounds a big ask. Reading or hearing how others have put their faith to the test is helpful. Our Advent calendar of hope was full of stories of how Jesus came alongside people we know and transformed difficult and dangerous situations. There's a story in the Gospels of a man who said to Jesus, "Lord, I do believe, but please help my unbelief." And I think that's a very good prayer to pray. As we grow as disciples of Jesus, we learn to lean our weight more and more on his promise to be with us whatever happens. He doesn't promise we won't have troubles and sorrows, but he promises he will be with us in them. In Hebrews chapter 13, we read, "God has said, I will never leave you or forsake you." So we can say with confidence, "The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me?" The ultimate antidote to fear is our faith in Jesus as our Saviour and Lord, not only for this life, but beyond the grave, that death is not the end, but the gateway to life eternal. That same writer to the Hebrews writes in chapter 2, "Since we are people of flesh and blood, Jesus too shared in our humanity, so that by his death he might break the power of the one who holds the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death." St. Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 writes about the resurrection of Jesus. "If Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, leading the way for all those who die in faith." And he ends this section, "Where, O death, is your sting? Where, O grave, is your victory? Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." To illustrate what that means, I'm going to read a story that Anna Laidler told us at the beginning of January. "I just want to share a few thoughts of encouragement. A dear family friend called Bishop Patrick Harris, who brought me to faith when I was 12, died last week in Cheltenham Hospital. My mum spoke to Val, his wife, yesterday, and she said that 3 days before he died, he woke up after being unconscious and said over and over, 'They are everywhere.' Rachel, his daughter, asked him who he was talking about, and he said, 'Angels, green, blue, yellow, white, everywhere.' He then closed his eyes and died 3 days later. He wasn't on any drugs. The man in the next bed said he was utterly amazed by the praying, reading the Bible, and the worship songs played when the family were with him, and felt a presence of someone in the room the whole time Pat was in the bed next to him. He told the nurse that when he goes home, he'll be getting a Bible and going to church. So even right up until his last breath, Pat was still living out his mission on earth. Praise the Lord." I'm going to close with a beautiful prayer written by a Christian called Thomas à Kempis back in the 15th century. Then we're going to listen to the song Oceans, an expression of faith based on the story of how, later in the Gospel, Peter tried to walk to Jesus across the water. That showed his faith had grown, though even then he still faltered. We too are bound to falter. So in the song, we express our faith in the one who calmed the storm and reached out his hand to rescue Peter. You've never failed, and you won't start now. Let's pray. Loving God, you know what is in me. You know my strengths and weaknesses, my hopes and fears. Lead me from death to life, from falsehood to truth, from uncertainty to trust, from turmoil to peace. Write your blessed name, O Lord, upon my heart, there to remain so indelibly engraved that no prosperity, no adversity shall ever move me from your love. Be to me a strong tower of defence, a comforter in tribulation, a deliverer in distress, a very present help in trouble, and a guide to heaven through the many temptations and dangers of this life. Amen.
My soul will thirst to your embrace. I am yours, and you are mine.
Thank you so much, Heather. And I'm very conscious that that was perhaps a more modern song than we're used to, but I hope you were able to dwell within the richness of the words that come within that song and relate so much to what Heather was sharing in her reflections. So let us say the creed together. We say together in faith, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. We believe in God the Father, who created all things. For by his will they were created and have their being. We believe in God, the Son, who was slain. For with his blood he purchased us for God, from every tribe and language, from every people and nation. And we believe in God, the Holy Spirit. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen. So Hannah is now going to lead us in our intercessions.
Dear Lord, we thank you for the work that is happening within CAP. We thank you for the wonderful CAP befrienders that we have working with all the clients in our town. How incredible is it that we are seeing clients become debt-free in a time where we're always being told how much everyone is struggling financially. But Lord, we also thank you for the CAP clients that are not yet debt-free, that you would continue to work with them and the befrienders to see their day come one day and bless them all. We pray for tomorrow, Lord, when our teachers will return to their classrooms and the students will start their staggered return back to school. We pray for our kids and youth especially, that you will be with them, however they may be feeling after such a long time away from their norm. We pray for their safety, for all of them, for peace, and for our parents to be filled with a new energy. And Lord, we pray for Prince Philip after his heart operation this week. We pray that he will make a full recovery and be allowed to return home when he is well enough to his family. We thank you for the incredible doctors and nurses that have looked after him and worked with us in our NHS every day. We thank you for our kindness project that has been in practice for the past few weeks. Please continue to place new people on our hearts, be it friends, family, or our neighbours, and help us to spread kindness and blessings to all in our town. Thank you for all the people that have been blessed so far throughout, and may those people have people on their hearts to bless others. We pray for Helen and Eddie that have both lost family members recently. We also lift up anyone else in this situation right now. We want to fill them with your love and restoration during this incredibly difficult time. Wrap your arms around them, Lord, and fill them with your love and peace. And finally, as our community starts to open up again, as more of us return to our workplaces, we pray, Lord, for peace where there may be fear. For some, there is so much excitement in our life resuming again, but for many still, there is a lot of fear and worry. Please, would you just be with us all in this upcoming week? Fill us with your peace and help us to all continue to be hope in our communities. Amen.
Thank you, Hannah, for leading us in our intercessions. And now we come around the communion table to share the bread and the wine. We have been talking about facing our fears. I wonder what your fears are, if you have any, and it's wonderful if you don't, but many of us carry those fears each day. One of the things that Heather was raising in her teaching was the challenge to the disciples when they were in the storm. Where was their faith to know that Jesus was with them and therefore they would get through the storm? Do you know that Jesus is with you in the storms and the fears of life that you face? Well, as we gather around the table, this is a time when we can gather and remember and draw close to Jesus in our fears. And as we symbolically share the bread and the wine, I want to really encourage you to bring those storms of your life to Jesus now, and know that he is the peace that will join and lead you through, and we will get to the other side. So we can do this in confidence and with joy. So let us remember that the Lord is here. His Spirit is with us. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give thanks and praise. It is right to praise you, Father, Lord of all creation. In your love, you made us for yourself. When we turned away, you did not reject us, but came to meet us in your Son. You embraced us as your children and welcomed us to sit and eat with you. In Christ, you shared our life that we might live in him and he in us. He opened his arm of love upon the cross and made for all the perfect sacrifice for sin. On the night he was betrayed at supper with his friends, he took bread and gave thanks. He broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His body is the bread of life. At the end of supper, taking the cup of wine, he gave you thanks and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His blood is shed for all. And as we proclaim his death and celebrate his rising in glory, send your Holy Spirit upon this bread and this wine, that it may be to us the body and blood of your dear Son. And as we eat and drink these holy gifts, make us one in Christ, our risen Lord. And with your whole church throughout the world, we offer you this sacrifice of praise and lift our voice to join the eternal song of heaven. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. And so as our Saviour taught, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. And so every time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And so draw near with faith and receive the body of your Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and symbolically share his blood, which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith and thanksgiving. So the post-communion prayer, say together, Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. And the post-communion prayer for this third Sunday of Lent. Merciful Lord, grant your people grace to withstand the temptations of the world, the flesh and the devil, and with pure hearts and minds to follow you, the only God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So let us sing our final hymn now, Eternal Father, Strong to Save. An amazing hymn to end our service with, and as an ex-naval man, that was the naval hymn, so it's been some time before I finally got it into the service at some point, but it's a wonderful thing. Now, as worship is just coming to an end, but a notice first about our ongoing kindness project, which I hope you've been able to follow, and here's a short video about how we can take acts of kindness into the coming week. And here's Helen with ways that we can do that.
The Kindness Project continues this week with two more activities that you might like to join in with. Our theme this week is facing fear and knowing God's power. The pandemic's been so difficult for so many people. Many people in our communities are fearful right now. But this week, we're particularly thinking about local businesses, many of whom are struggling to keep going and are fearful for the future. So our creative idea this week is to write a note or a card with some words of encouragement and or some positive feedback for a local business and then post it through their door. Or maybe you could bake them a cake. Here's one I made earlier. And drop it off to them with a message to let them know that we are thinking of them and praying for them. Let them know that your message comes with love and blessing from St Andrew's or from All Saints. And for our reflective idea this week, you will need a small blanket, just like this one. Life in the pandemic can be, for some of us, very challenging. And we can be facing real fears. In the boat, in the storm, the disciples were terrified. But Jesus brought calm and peace to them in that situation. In Psalm 46, verse 1, it says, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in times of trouble. So take your shawl or your blanket and wrap it around your shoulders. Sit quietly and prayerfully and allow a feeling of calm and peace to meet you in your fears. Remember that God loves you and is with you. God is your refuge and your strength, an ever-present help in times of trouble. Just allow those feelings of calm and peace to meet you in your fears. And as you sit under your shawl, you might like to pray as well for the businesses that you've reached out to, that they too may know God as a refuge and their strength. And then when you finish praying, as you take off your shawl and fold it up, just imagine wrapping all those fears and concerns inside the shawl and handing them over to God. Thank you.
Thank you, Helen, for those encouragements about what we can do in the week ahead of us. And just to encourage you, you know, the things that we've done before, don't forget there are still things that we can do just to engage with those around us. And I took advantage this week. I wrote 20 cards, just short little notes of encouragement, and then delivered them in my local area. And I just, in faith, hope that it's been an encouragement to people. And it's something that is very easy to do, and perhaps it's something you can do as well. So keep engaging with the Kindness Project if you can. So as we go into this new week, I pray that you will know that Christ is with you in our fears and the storms of life, and that you can be encouraged. Draw upon him and know that he is with you. So let me finish with a blessing as we come to an end. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst us and remain with us now and always. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Amen.